Hello, welcome to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This week, queer comics. We all know how important it is, especially for children and young adults, to see people like ourselves portrayed in the media. Today, comics and graphic novels are quite popular. It's a $1 billion a year plus business. Marvel Comics, an industry powerhouse, came out with its first ever Pride edition this June. So for this week's Out in the Bay, producer Porfirio Rangel spoke with artist Luciano Vecchio, who drew gay characters Wiccan and Hulkling for that historic Marvel edition, and with comics writer Gabby Rivera about their work, queer representations in comics, their experiences in the industry, and their advice. Take it away, Porfirio.
So first, I speak with writer Gabby Rivera. She's known for writing the 2017 America Chavez series, Marvel's first queer Latina hero. Gabby also wrote Julia Takes a Breath, a young adult novel about a Latina from the Bronx who's on a journey of self-discovery.
Thanks, Gabby, for joining me today.
Oh my gosh, anything for you, Porfirio.
So how important is it to have queer representation in comics?
Listen, right now I'm reading the Our Work is Everywhere, an illustrated oral history of queer and trans resistance. And I am just being blown away by the ferocity and gorgeousness of our storytelling. And remembering that representation in comics and graphic novels can be anything we want it to be. And that queer and trans people of color are the future of that media and that medium. And so it is super important to have queer and trans POC creators, artists, writers, and also production houses. And that, like, that energy and all those works that we create are all blessings and offerings to the queer kids to come.
When did you begin writing stories, and when did you know, like, you wanted to do this as a career?
I've always written stories since I was like 4 and 5 years old. My mother was my first teacher, so she taught me how to read and write at a very young age. And since then, I've been writing stories. In my teenage years, I got into poetry more and performance poetry at that, slam poetry. And then in my 20s, I just fell back into writing my story, writing Juliet Takes a Breath, and turning that not just into like a direct, this is what happened to me, but fleshing it out as a young adult novel, as a piece of like queer Puerto Rican fiction. So yeah, I've always written stories. And then when I got the opportunity to write for Marvel Comics, that was my first ever comic story. And I hit the ground running and learned on the go, read all the old Marvel comics I could, and did my best to tell the wackiest story ever. Mm-hmm.
And so in your own words, for people who are not familiar with this character, who is America Chavez?
America Chavez is a character created by Marvel who has existed in the Marvel universe. She is so powerful that she can punch portals into other dimensions. She is queer and Latina, and she is also the child of two queer Latina moms. America Chavez is just super strong and independent. And in my run for her, she is going to college. She is exploring her origins, connecting with her grandmother, and navigating the wild and messy world of still being a superhero.
Was it like nerve-wracking to write for a character that's already been established by Marvel?
Well, when writing America, it was wild to hold on to her original origins while at the same time trying to introduce her to the world again, but also trying to like hold respect for folks who already knew this character and loved her as she has shown up in the Marvel universe. And so, yeah, it was totally intimidating. And also, right, like all that stress and all that like fear can really stop you in your tracks. And so I just went with the ideas that I had for her and had a blast. And of course, you know, I had to write a pitch for each episode and for the series as a whole. And that was approved by Marvel. And so we just built from both. We built on what existed and we built on all the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so what did you want readers to take away from reading America?
One of the big things that I wanted to offer queer kids of color reading America was gentleness in language and the inspiration to explore their identities and to dream big, to always remind them that the universe is so infinite and that we are of that magic of the galaxy. And so there's just a lot of room in the story for America to learn and to grow and to also have these moments of self-reflection, of meditation. I want queer kids of color to feel supported and celebrated and that there are people that have their back. So in America, in issue 3, Storm comes in, like one of the greatest superheroes of all time, a Black woman on the X-Men, comes in and like offers mentorship to America.
So was there a huge difference when writing America Chavez compared to Julia Takes a Breath?
Totally. Julia Takes a Breath is pretty much based on my personal experience as a queer Puerto Rican, thick-bodied, curious, whimsical person, right? Like I was 19 and took myself on an internship to Portland, Oregon. So that was very like autobiographical. I really wanted to represent my family and the Bronx and just like all the beautiful and sometimes difficult pieces of growing up, you know? And then with America Chavez, it was just a whole other ball game, right? The format of writing a comic versus writing a book is totally different. Her being a character that belonged to a corporate creative entity, that was totally different. And also knowing that what I wrote essentially would belong to Marvel for infinity. It's just interesting. It's so fun to play in the Marvel universe. And you just tell yourself like, this is my work. This is what I'm doing. I know that I'm creating it for this world and it's okay to like leave it there and then move on to something for me.
What challenges does one face being queer and working in the comics industry?
It's so funny because even though I wrote America Chavez, I never really feel like I'm part of the comic industry. I'm just part of this like kooky group of writers that do all sorts of things. But I will say that being a queer woman, a Puerto Rican, and being butch presenting were all things that members of the comics community like used to tear me down and discredit my work and create all of these like toxic posts about why I shouldn't be writing, why I shouldn't exist, why America is terrible. Like there's a huge sect of comic community folks that like hate creators of color and queer creators and women especially. And so that left me vulnerable to who I am was like a field day for them as far as like trolling and doxing and hating and all that stuff. And so I had to kind of like gather all of my strength to make it through the America run and remember that my queerness and all of my identities are my strength. And when I look to my particular communities, there was healing from all the attacks. And when I went to individual comic shops, there was so much love and care for who I am and all of my identities that I was able to heal from that. And so once again, my identities became sources of community and care and support, as opposed to being like open season for homophobes, haters, and bigots of all kind, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, comics industry or even like mainstream media has done better for queer representation, but there, I feel like there's still a lot more work that needs to be done for more queer Latino representation. What do you think is like, I guess, like the roadblock for us seeing that kind of rep out in these forms of art?
Listen, it's like, I mean, a lot of it is about money, right? Like, where's the reparations, you know? Like, where you've made so much money off of, like, just mostly white characters, right? So some of that money, a big chunk of it, should just go directly to creators. And not just because you hired them to do a run for you, but because you believe in the vision and you know that reparations are owed. And so I feel like a stumbling block is that these big mega corporate comic structures aren't in that mind frame yet. They are not doling out the money so that you can start a queer Black Indigenous press for your own comics and then using their might in distribution to get it everywhere. You know, right now it feels a little more like, oh, we like you, so we're gonna select you for this series. We like you, we're gonna select you for this series. And so it's very individualized. And what we need now is a lot of big money to come into creative communities.
So how have you used writing to kind of understand your own queer identity?
Well, I mean, writing is funny because reading has helped me understand my queer identity, right? And so reading books like Stone Butch Blues, Sister Outsider, Bingo Love, and so on and so forth, right? Books that, and comics that highlight the love of queer folks of color, the intergenerational relationships, like individual stories, like Stone Butch Blues is Leslie Feinberg's memoir on being like a gender renegade. And so reading has always helped me understand who I am and who I can be. And then when I do my writing, I explore what I have learned and make my own offerings to the community, make my own offerings, again, to queer kids of color, because I think about us and all the kids that we lose and all the kids that we have lost because of homophobia and racism. And so all the work I do is like infused with that love and that care.
So now that you've written stories about, you know, young Latina figuring herself out to a superhero, what kind of other stories do you still want to write?
You know, so funny. I definitely have gotten this question before and I'm like, there's still not enough, right? Like, people stay mad. They're like, oh, Gabby Rivera put herself in her comic. Gabby Rivera writes about herself. Hell yes, I do. Because who else is writing about me? I want you to sit there and think and name five Puerto Rican butches besides me that you know. You got none. They're not on TV. We're not in the movies. We're not romantic interests. We're not generating like our own comic spinoff series, right? So for as long as that exists, I'm going to keep writing about me. I'm going to keep writing about people in my community, my non-binary, two-spirit, like transgender, gender non-conforming, ace, bisexual, pansexual. Like, we are going to keep flooding the timeline with our work and our glory.
Thanks, Gabby, for sharing so much of your time here with me and Out in the Bay. I really appreciate it.
It's been a blast.
You're hearing Out in the Bay. We just heard from comics writer Gabby Avera. And up next, you'll hear from illustrator Luciano Vecchio.
No ads in the middle of our podcast. We're independent, but we do need your help. Silicon Valley listeners Richard Merck and Brad Payton have offered to match gifts 2-to-1 this Pride Month, up to $3,000. Your 10 bucks becomes 30, 100 becomes 300, but we have to raise 1,000 bucks or 50 gifts of any amount. So just 10 bucks will help us keep bringing queer voices to the world. Learn more and give at giveoutday.org/outinthebay. That's giveoutday.org/outinthebay. Thank you.
This is Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Porfirio Rangel. This week, we're talking queer comics. I'm joined now by comics artist Luciano Vecchio. He sketched gay characters Wiccan and Hulkling for Marvel Comics. Hulkling, by the way, is Captain Marvel's son. He also drew the cover of Marvel's first Pride issue, published in June 2021. Luciano lives in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and has works published worldwide in the US, Spain, the UK, France, and other countries.
Thank you, Luciano, for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, who are some of your favorite heroes that you like drawing?
Well, usually my, especially Wiccan and Hulkling, I have a very special connection with them because when Young Avengers first appeared, it was what hooked me back to the Marvel Universe as a reader. And I was just coming out when they appeared, so I connected with them in that aspect. I'm so happy I got to draw the King in Black one shot earlier this year. But in general, I am finding that I really like the exercise of like rescuing queer characters from limbo and giving them new energy and new life.
That's awesome. Yeah, cool. So it's definitely like a full circle, like you and Wiccan and Hulkling have been on, right?
Yeah.
So for people who aren't that familiar with Wiccan and Hulkling, can you just give like a little background to who they are?
Wiccan, most people might know from the recent WandaVision series, in which he appears as a little kid. He's the son of Scarlet Witch and Vision, who in the comics is also reincarnated as a kid in another family. And he's a witch, a magic practitioner like Wanda. And his boyfriend, Hulkling, is also a legacy character. He's the son of the original Captain Marvel. And he's a Kree Skrull hybrid. He's the heir of both species. And they recently got married, and they both have adventures in space.
Yeah, I love reading about their adventures, especially like the one you wrote in King of Black. It was really exciting. It was really awesome, and yeah, just the arts and the colors was amazing.
Thank you.
So, you know, when you're drawing like well-established queer characters like Wiccan and Hulkling, did you feel like any like pressure, like I have to do this right?
Yeah, I mostly focus on do it right for me. And I know, because I am such a nerd that I always like getting the reference right, you know, like being respectful to the whole history of every character. So I focus on doing it right for me and having fun. And I know that will reflect on being right for people, I hope.
And so how important is it to have queer representation in comics?
I think it's vital. I mean, for me at least, I know I didn't have much of it growing up, and hence my experience. I'm 38 this year, and I came out when I was 21. I think that's too late, or not too late, but I mean, I wish I had the chance to live my teen years differently, or have a different experience, or having been able to see myself in represented in comics or media in general, I think would have made a big difference. Yeah, I think seeing ourselves in fiction is a way to create our own perceptions of ourselves and also for the rest of the audience to get to know, interact, and be ready to welcome and protect queer people and kids especially.
So how do you use art as a way to understand like your own queer identity?
For example, when I was young, I think I drew a gay kiss before ever giving one, for example. I think a lot of people explore their own impulses that way. I think everything we do as artists is a constant dialogue with our inner self. So probably everything I do has a role in that.
Yeah, okay, cool. So let's talk about your work with Marvel's first Pride issue. That's exciting. So do you know how that started, how the idea came about?
Well, it is part of the series of Marvel Voices specials. This is the first time we're doing Pride, and it's incredible. I'm so happy that is happening. Just as a reader, I'm so excited that this is happening because it's something I didn't even dream will happen sometime, and much less that I am lucky enough to be invited to be part of it.
Yeah, how did that happen? Like, did someone tell you about it, or how did you manage to get on the project?
The editor, Sarah Brunstad, is in charge of this special, mm-hmm. and she asked me directly to write and draw this intro sequence, revisiting iconic moments of the history of LGBT representation in Marvel. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she asked and I jumped right in. I was so excited to be asked.
What challenges does one face being queer and working in the comics industry?
I can't speak for anyone else but me. I think I was very lucky. Like, I didn't feel particularly challenged other than resisting the occasional trolls and harassment online, which does happen, but I feel like I'm quite trained to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, other than that, I don't know. I didn't even decide how I needed to be out and visible and vocal about my queerness and make it an important aspect of my work. I think it just happened and was quite well received so far. I was really lucky to be living this moment in history and had the chance to work with the right people.
Cool. Yeah, amazing. That's awesome. So I want to ask the question, like, living in Argentina, is there a lot of like queer representation out there?
Well, here there is a local comic industry that is mostly independent and like self-made or small press. And there is a lot of representation. It changed a lot over the last few years. Like maybe 5 years ago, I thought I was like the only queer creator. And it wasn't true, but it was like a feeling you had. So at some point I started meeting people and someone made an event for us to gather and we started connecting with each other and creating more bigger sense of community between comic creators of all kinds. And now, just a few years later, there's a whole new generation of queer artists that I don't even know all of them, and there's so much to discover all the time. It's incredible.
Great. So, Luciano, thank you so much for sharing your time with me here and out in the Bay. I really just, like I said, I love your work, and just thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
In the spirit of pride, to close off the show, I ask one last question to both Gabby and Luciano. What advice do you give on being yourself?
As you try to figure yourself out, be as gentle and give yourself as much room and space to breathe. You have all the time that you need, and the only person that you need to come out to is yourself when you are ready. And also, identity and sexuality are often ever-changing. Who you are today could be different in 10 years, should be different in 20 years. And like, this world is yours to be who you want to be at all times. And also, read books, read comic books, read queer people, read works by queer, trans, POC. Like, your ancestors have left you a treasure trove of representation, inspiration, and love.
You're never alone. I mean, for me, in this sense, pride is a lot about community and creating the environments where you can at least feel listened to or validated to explore yourself, even while you're figuring things out. You know, like, you don't have to have all the answers right away. You can take your time, and it will be okay. That's the point of all of this, and why we share our stories, to say that it will be okay no matter what.
My guests this week were Gabby Avetta and Luciano Vecchio. To check out their work, check out our website, outinthebay.org. That's outinthebay.org, where you can also hear this show and past shows and share them with friends and sign up for our weekly email newsletter and subscribe to Out in the Bay via Stitcher and Apple Podcasts. Please also consider making a donation there. We'd love to keep bringing queer radio to your ears, and your contributions will help us do so. That's outinthebay.org. This week's show was produced with help from Eric Jansen and Kendra Kling. Our theme music was written by Holly Mead. Stay safe, stay healthy, happy Pride. I'm Porfiria Rangel. Thanks for joining us out in the Bay.
Hey, want to triple your money for Out in the Bay? Silicon Valley listeners Richard Merck and Brad Payton have offered to match gifts 2-to-1 this Pride Month, up to $3,000. Your 10 bucks becomes 30, 100 becomes 300. But we have to raise 1,000 bucks or 50 gifts of any amount to qualify. So just 10 bucks will help us keep bringing queer voices to the world. Learn more at giveoutday.org/outinthebay. That's giveoutday.org/outinthebay. Or see the Give Out post right under this week's episode on our website, outinthebay.org. That's outinthebay.org. Thank you. Thank you.